I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn to the book of Nehemiah. I would like to read from Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 will begin here and then, Lord willing, we're going to try to look at the walls that God's Word says that we are to build. There are walls that God's people are to build, and then there are walls that God builds. There are walls that God has built. And I pray that God will bless us as we study about the difference in the walls that we build and the walls that God has built. God will bless us to see the beauty that's taught in God's holy word. Before we begin to try to read from Nehemiah chapter 4, I would like to ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have. Lord, we know that it is a privilege, and we thank You for the freedom that we have to come together in Thy house to try to worship Thee this day. We thank You for those that have fought to obtain and preserve freedom in our land. And we pray that You would help us to realize what a privilege we have to live in the United States of America. We pray, Lord, that You would help us also that we might begin to work and labor to restore the righteous principles upon which our nation was founded. Lord, we thank You for the desire that we have to be in Thy house and to be with Thy people and the desire to hear Thy word. And we pray that as we come together this day, that Your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that You would guide us and direct us and help us to see and understand the truth and the importance of Thy holy word. We beg Thy blessings upon those that are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician. We know that You have all power, and we ask You in the name of Jesus Christ to touch and heal and lift up those that are sick and afflicted and those that are on their deathbeds that You're about to take home to be with You. We pray that You would give them a sweet hour to depart from this life and that You would bless their families with great peace and joy. You know the needs of every person here today. We ask You to bless each one. Help us all in every needed way. Pray that You would help us that we might see and understand the things that You would have us to do, and that You would give us the strength and grace to do it, and help us not to receive that grace in vain, but help us to be doers of Thy word and not hearers only. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come asking You to fill us all with Your Spirit and teach us from Thy Word, and may Thy Word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the head of the church, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4, most all of you are familiar here with the building of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, I already mentioned that we're going to be looking at the difference in the walls that God would have us to build as contrasted with the walls that God has built. We're going to begin by looking at walls that we are to build. And I'm not talking about literal walls. We have literal walls in this building, and sometimes in the Old Testament we read a lot about the walls that are around various cities. They were specifically, we're going to be looking at the walls that the children of Israel built around Jerusalem. They were big walls. They were walls probably larger than most of us have ever seen. It took a tremendous amount of work to build those walls. Some of you have seen the great walls of China, but the walls that were around Jerusalem were large, great walls. They were high walls. They were thick walls. They were walls so big that people could walk on top of the walls, and chariots could sometimes even ride on top of the walls. They were huge walls, and they were walls that God told the children of Israel to build those walls. Now, sometimes those walls would get torn down, and that's what we're reading about here in the book of Nehemiah. We're reading about an occasion where the walls have been torn down, and now they're beginning to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I think that most of you would know and understand that the walls of our nation have been torn down in many ways. I'm not talking now about literal walls, but I'm talking about the walls of righteousness and the principles upon which our nation was founded. Those walls have been torn down. There's a group of people that's working hard to restore those walls. And they're called the Wall Builders. They're working in our land today to try to restore the righteous principles of our nation. All of us should be wall builders. I have a wall around my house. I'm not talking about the natural walls, but I have things that are not allowed in my house. I built walls. Do you understand the analogy that we're trying to give here? Is that we ought to have walls, we ought to have a barrier between our lives and the things of the world. And we have to build those walls. God doesn't build those walls for us, but we are to build those walls. There is supposed to be a major difference in children of God and children of the devil. There's supposed to be a major difference in Christians and non-Christians. There's a difference in light and darkness. There's a difference in life and death. There's a difference in good and evil. And you and I are to build those walls so that we protect ourselves and our families from the evils and the darkness and the death that's out there in this world. And if you don't build those walls, you'll find that you and your family will be destroyed. So in Nehemiah now, Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, Nehemiah chapter 4, and I'm just going to touch on this. I encourage you to go home and read about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. But this shows us the results of feeble people under God's blessings. I'm telling you, the children of Israel, they could not have done what they did without God's blessings upon them. Likewise, in your life, you cannot build the walls that need to be built. You cannot build those walls without God helping you. You cannot protect yourself, and you cannot protect your family. You can't build the walls that need to separate you from the evils of this world without God helping you. But with God's help, you can build those walls. Nehemiah chapter 4 now, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat," those are enemies of the children of Israel, "that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Did you know that children of God that try to build the walls that we're going to be looking at this morning, they will be mocked? You cannot build the wall of separation between you and the world without being mocked. You can't try to live different than the world without being mocked. You can't build barriers between good and evil without being mocked. So they were building these walls and they were being mocked. Verse 2 says, "And he spake before his brethren," that Sanballat, the enemies of the children of Israel, "he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews," he's laughing at how feeble they are, "what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves, will they sacrifice, will they make an end in a day, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Let me ask you this question. Do you think it is possible that the walls that once existed in our nation, talking about the walls that existed that separated good from evil, the walls that clearly marked this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is evil, those walls have been torn down. Do you think it's possible for the people of God to build those walls again? I believe it is possible, and I would encourage all of you to work and labor to build again the walls of Jerusalem, to build again a clear line of marking between what is right and wrong and what is good and what is evil, and do everything you can to protect yourself and your family from those things that are ungodly. Are there ungodly things in your home? Sometimes I had a person this past week that said to me, he said, you know, he was talking to me about a movie, and he said, I think this is a really good movie. And then he said, now, probably, probably I'm desensitized to all the evil that's on that movie. And there may be a lot of profanity, and there may be a lot of other things on that movie, but he says, I'm desensitized to that. But do you know what's happened? What's happened? He's torn the walls down. Now, you can blame it on the devil if you want to. The fact and the reality is the devil cannot bring anything into your home unless you tear down those walls. If you're going to compromise with the devil and you're going to say, we're going to have things, it's all right, periodically to have things that are ungodly, you've torn down the wall, you have a breach in the wall. The whole wall may not be torn down, but there's a breach in the wall, and you've allowed a doorway for Satan to come into your life and into your home. The computer is a great blessing, but the computer is something that can be a source of evil coming into your home. And I would encourage every parent here, if you don't know the seriousness of what's on the computer, I beg you in the name of Christ that you get a block on that computer and that you begin to filter out. You get a filter on your computer to filter out and stop those things that ought not to be coming into your home. What is that filter on a computer? What is it? It's a wall. You need walls. You need to have walls. You need to say, listen, if you think you're strong enough to fight the enemy without the wall, you don't know much about yourself, and you don't know much about the enemy. If you don't build a wall, you will lose the battle. You can't win these battles that I'm talking about without building the wall. And God has taught us to build the wall. Sometimes we try to see just how close we can get to evil without evil destroying us. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we see just how much we can get away with without God bringing His judgments. Well, anybody that feels that way is not building walls. They see no need to build walls. Look now at Nehemiah chapter 4. Look at verse 6. You've already seen the first two verses that enemies are mocking the people of God. Verse 6, the Word of God says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. If you're not willing to work to build these walls, they'll never get built. I want you to remember that these are walls that the people built. It's different than the walls God builds for us. There are walls that we are to build. The people built this wall because they had a mind to work. The people believed God. They believed they needed to build those walls, and they obeyed God, and they worked and labored, and they built those walls. I would ask you, how many walls do you have around your home? Do you have a little feeble wall? Do you have a little wall that anybody could break down? Do you have a little wall built that Satan can trample right down? You remember the story of the three little pigs? Did every one of those three little pigs have a wall? Did every one of them have a wall? The little lazy pig that built his house out of straw, did he have a wall? Yes, he had a wall. And sometimes the people of God build such shabby walls between them and evil that anybody could blow it down. And listen, brethren, the devil's a powerful lion. Peter understood that when he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't have a strong wall, he will blow your house down. He will destroy you and your family. Build the wall. You've got to have a mind to work. You've got to labor at it. You've got to build a strong wall. Now come down to verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 15. The Word of God says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. Do you have a work to do? Let me ask you, do your children have a work to do around your house to keep the walls built up? They ought to. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody, listen, this is true whether you consider your own personal life. I need a wall around me. You need walls around you.
You need walls around your family. This church needs walls. Did you know that there are walls set up in the Word of God that the church is to build those walls and set up a difference between them and the people out there in the world? There's supposed to be a major difference in the church of Jesus Christ and in the world. What we've tried to do today is make the church so appealing to the world, we've torn down the walls, and anybody and everybody's supposed to be able to be a part of the church. I'm telling you, that's not the teachings of the Word of God. There were many people that came to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. Do you remember that? There were many people that came to John the Baptist to be baptized of him, and there were many of those people that came to be baptized that he rebuked them, and he would not baptize them, and he called them a generation of vipers, and he says, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he told them, "Go and bring forth fruit meet for repentance." He turned them away. Why? Because God had a wall. God said before a person can be baptized, they have to bring forth fruit meet for repentance. They have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They have to be trying to live the way the Word of God says. If there's not a wall built by that person, they can't come into the walls of the church. Do you understand that? And when a person begins to break down the walls around themselves and let Satan come in and destroy their life, you need to do everything you can to help them build those walls back. But sometimes things are in such a state of disrepair and a person is in such a state of rebellion that there's nothing you can do to restore those walls. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. These people are still building the wall. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Do you ever get tired of building the walls that you have to build around your own life? Do you ever find that the walls are beginning to crumble in one area that you didn't realize that there was a problem in an area in your home? Well, listen, the Word of God says, Nehemiah chapter 6, "And that came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in the plain of, in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." What were they saying? Come down off the wall. Don't finish. It's almost done. And listen, brethren, there are so many times that people get so close to building the walls. They work and they labor and they build. And then what does the devil do? The devil says, come down. Come meet with me in the plain of Ono. And listen, brethren, when the devil tells you to come down and to backslide and get away from the work of building the walls, you need to say the same thing that Nehemiah and the children of Israel did. Oh no, we will not come down. We will not stop the work that we're doing. Verse 3 says, the rest of verse 2 says, "But they thought to do me mischief." Does the devil want you to stop building the wall? Does he want you to come down off the wall? Yes, he does. Because he wants to do you mischief. Does he sound pleasant? What's it sound like? Come down off the wall. Come down, meet me down here. Sounds like a good little fellowship, doesn't it? The reality is he's there to destroy you. Verse 3 says, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work." Did you know the greatest work you can do in your life is to serve God, honor God, build the walls around you and your family, build the walls around the church, build the walls that we're to build. That's the greatest work you can do. And you need to be busy about your Father's business. And so he says, "I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down unto you?" Come down to verses 15 and 16 now, and we'll leave these walls. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. It took them 52 days working night and day, all of them working and others holding. Listen, brethren, they were people that held the guns. They held the swords while everyone else was building. Verse 16 says, "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof," what did they hear about? They heard we built the wall. They heard we completed the wall. They heard the wall was up. "And when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were round about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Now, who built the wall? God or the people? Which one? That's exactly right. Both. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are laborers together with God. Now, who is the architect of building those walls? How do you know how to build the walls? Do you know how to build the walls around you and around your family? Do you know what must be done to know how to build those walls? The pattern is given to you in the Word of God. If you want to know how to build the walls, you study the Word, because the Word of God will tell you exactly how to build the walls to make those walls a good defense, an impenetrable defense against Satan. Build those walls. And the enemy will finally see, the devil will finally see, this work was the work that God did. Have you ever seen that in your life? That you finished something and you thought, you know, this is unbelievable. This is marvelous what's just been done. You know what you'll do? You'll give all the glory to God, because you'll know that without Christ you could do nothing. But you can also say, like the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Can you build these walls? Will it seem like an insurmountable task in building those walls? But can you build these walls? May God help us to realize the seriousness of building those walls. Let me ask you one question before we go to the New Testament. Did Lot, you remember Abraham and Lot? You remember they both were very rich men. You remember there was conflict between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants, and Abraham said, "You just choose whichever way you want to go." And so Lot looked down and he saw the plains down there, the rich, fertile ground. He said, "I'll take that right there." Abraham said, "That's fine. I'll take Canaan land." Isn't that beautiful? "I'll take Canaan land. You take the best this world has to offer. I'm going to Canaan land." Now, did Lot build a wall when he pitched his tent down there? Did Lot build a wall of protection between him and his family? No. What did he do? The Scripture says, if you go back and read in the book of Genesis, the Scripture says, "And Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom." Now, he didn't start out in Sodom, did he? And anybody that had ever told Lot, "You better not build your tent there," he would have said, "If you think that I can't stay out of Sodom, you're sick. If you think I can't resist those Sodomites down there, you're out of your mind. If you think I'm going to go live in Sodom, you're crazy. I can live right here and pitch my tent toward Sodom if I want to." And he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and before long, guess where he ended up? He ended up in Sodom. And guess what he lost? What did Lot lose? He lost everything he had. Why? Because he didn't build the wall. He got too close to sin and ungodliness in his life, and before he knew it, he was sucked in and destroyed. What will happen to your life and my life if we don't get away from the devil as far away as we can? If we don't dwell in Canaan land like Abraham did? If we don't dwell in Canaan land, and if we don't build the walls, were there walls? Did they build walls in Canaan land? Yes, they did. Were there walls that came down in Canaan land? Yes, there were. But were there walls that were built in Canaan? Yes, there were. Now, go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians just a moment. I want you to first see just the literal application, or rather the spiritual application, and then we're going to look at the walls that God built. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe the Word of God here sets forth some clear walls that we're to build. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Word of God makes it plain. Now listen carefully to this. I want you to listen to this carefully. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at 14 through 18, but listen just a minute. Listen carefully. "If you and I will build the walls that God has for us to build, then God will take us inside the walls that He has built. Does everybody hear exactly what I'm saying? If you and I, as God's children, if we will build the walls that God is instructing us to build, then God will take us inside walls that He has built. And I'm not talking about going to heaven when you die. I'm talking about there is a city, a holy city, that has foundations and walls of protection for God's people. And if you'll build the walls that you're supposed to build, God will take you behind those walls where the devil and his angels cannot touch you. Was there a wall around Job's house and Job's family? Was there a wall there? Who built that first wall? Who built the first wall? Job did. Job was a man that feared God and shunned evil. He was a man that built walls between him and sin. He was a man that daily served God, feared God, obeyed God. Did he have walls that he had built around him and his family? Did God also have walls around him? And the devil could not touch Job and his family unless God removed some of those walls. This is a little different than what we're looking at, but it still is applicable. Did you know the devil cannot touch me unless God gives him permission to do that? Does everybody understand that? There is nothing that can happen to me except God give him permission. When I started having major heart trouble 12 years ago, did you know God is the one that removed that wall and allowed Satan to bring that into my life? Now, I'm telling you, it was for my good and His glory that that happened. I wouldn't trade a life without sickness for what I've had in the past 12 years. Wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world. There's never been a one of God's children that ever had a problem, whether it was a trial of their faith or a fiery judgment. There's never been a child of God, but what God either brought that trouble into their life or God removed the wall and let Satan touch and attack something in their life. Job was a man that had built his walls, and could Satan touch Job or his possessions? Could Satan touch Job and Job's possessions as long as God kept His wall up? No. He could not. In fact, God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Listen, brethren, God was well pleased with His servant Job. And He says, "Have you targeted him? Have you ever tried to get him? Have you ever tried to afflict him?" Satan's response basically was, "Yes, I've tried. I've tried over and over, but you've got a hedge around him. You've got a wall around him, and I can't touch him." But God says, "All right, I'm going to let you touch him." And He removed a wall and says, "You can take his possessions, and you can take his children, but you can't take his life." You know who brought that wall in a little closer right there? Who was the one that brought that wall in closer? It was God. It was God. And God said, "You can't touch his body." And so he tried everything he could to get Job to curse God. And Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That was a man of integrity. That was a man who loved and feared and trusted God. A man who said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That was a man that was truly, his house was built on a rock. And then God said, "All right, now I'm going to move the wall a little further, and you can even afflict his body." Because that's what Satan said. Said, "Oh, well, I wasn't successful there, but if you'll just let me touch his body, if you'll let me afflict his body, he will curse you." And so his body was afflicted, and he had boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. He had boils all over his body, and his wife said, "Curse God and die. Death is better than this." And he said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil?" In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, that was a great man of God. God loves you.
If you're God's child, God loves you. And God is going to take care of you if you build those walls that God would have you to build. Now, I didn't get to 2 Corinthians 6. I don't know how in the world time goes by so quick. You know the quickest time my clock goes? On Sunday morning, it just goes round and round. But I want you to listen carefully. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look beginning in verse 14. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Have you ever been yoked together with an unbeliever? I'm going to tell all of you teenagers here, I'm going to tell all of you children here, don't you ever date anybody that is not a solid Christian. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Don't you ever date one person. Don't you, and parents, if you let your children go out with one person that's not a solid Christian, you have failed to put up the wall you're supposed to build up. Your children, you are responsible for building walls and setting parameters around you and your family. And I encourage everybody here, don't you let your children ever once date one time a person that is not a solid Christian. This idea that you're going to change them, you're asking for trouble. You've just broken down a wall that will lead to destruction in your family. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" verse 16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. What did I tell you just a moment ago? I said that if you will build, and this is going to be proof as well as revelation, if you will build and maintain the walls that God has told you to build, then God will put you behind some walls that are impenetrable. He'll put you behind the walls He builds. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, come out from among them." Is that separation? You know, some people just don't believe in separation from anything. Well, they just don't have any walls up, and they're foolish. "Wherefore," he says, "come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Are God's people supposed to live separate from the world? Are they supposed to be different from the world? "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Do you have to live in the world? Do you have to live in the world? You have to live in the world, but you don't have to look like and act like the world, and you don't have to have fellowship with the world. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Does God say, if you do something, then you will be my sons and daughters? Is that what He says here? Indeed He does. "And in a manifest way, you will be seen as sons and daughters." You become the sons of God. You become the sons of God in a manifest sense only when you come out from among them and you're separate and you build your wall. That's when you become a son of God, the way the Word of God is talking about here. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Now I want to get to the walls that God puts up, the walls God built. Let me tell you something, brethren. God built a city before this world ever began. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you. God built a city before this world ever began. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 25. He says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This kingdom of heaven, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, it came down from God out of heaven. That's the holy city. And do you know what's mentioned more about that city than anything else?
Do you know what's mentioned most of all about that city? Do you know what's mentioned about six times or seven times in this chapter 21 as it describes the holy city, the New Jerusalem? Were we talking about an old Jerusalem back there in Nehemiah? Were we talking about an old Jerusalem? Were we talking about literal walls around that old Jerusalem? I'm talking to you now about a New Jerusalem. Not eternal heaven, but I'm talking about the New Jerusalem that came down from God out of heaven. And God has established this city, the holy city, the New Jerusalem. He has established it here in the world for His obedient children. And when we build the walls, as God has told us to build the walls, He'll take us inside the walls of the holy city. It's the walls of Jerusalem. You go home and read Revelation chapter 21, and you'll find that most often the thing that is emphasized about this city is the walls of the city. Look at Revelation chapter 21, look at 1 and 2. Revelation 21, 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem," doing what? "Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Come down to verse 10 now. Revelation 21, verse 10. "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a..." What's the next word? "And had a what?" "The city had a wall, great and high." Oh, who built this city? Who built this city? God built it. Do you know that's what Abraham was looking for? Go back and read Hebrews chapter 11, and all those saints of God in Hebrews 11, they were looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The foundations of this wall, and the wall, and everything about this city, they were all made by God. It's not the eternal heaven, it's the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here on this earth. God built a city, and it had a wall great and high. Come down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations." Come down to verse 17. "And He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel." Verse 18. "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper." Verse 19. "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." Do you see the thing that's emphasized the most about this city is the walls of the city all the way through this chapter? And then who is it that can... How do you get into this city? Listen. Listen carefully. How do you get into this city? Anybody know how you get into this city that's described in Revelation 21 and 22? Look at Revelation 22, verse 14. That tells you how to get into the city. Revelation 22, there's walls around the city now. You can't jump over these walls. You can't burrow under these walls. How are you going to get into the city? Revelation 22, verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Where are the gates? Where are the gates? They're on the wall. They're on the side of the wall. There are gates to this city. There are walls to the city. And there's no other way to get into the city other than through the gates. And Jesus says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Do you have to do something to enter into this city? You have to do the commandments of God. You have to be obedient to God in order to enter into this city. I want you to go with me in closing to, very quickly, I want you to back up very quickly. Go to Matthew and back up just about 10 pages before Matthew. I want you to look first at Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We'll close right here. But I want you to see there were many prophecies about the coming of this city and the beautiful walls of the city. Are you glad God has a wall around you? I am too. In fact, God has a bunch of walls. Listen carefully. Let me tell you this while you're turning to Zechariah. God has some walls. Listen carefully. Listen. There are some walls that God has around you that God put around you forever, and you don't do anything to get in that wall. Do you hear what I'm telling you? God's family, a people so great that no man can number, they have a wall around them because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was talking about when he says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I'll tell you, brethren, the love of God is a wall that God has around all of His children, and nobody, the devil and all of His angels, can never get one of His children out of that wall. You understand that? That's the eternal wall that God has around all of His family. And then there's the wall that God has around His obedient children. There are a lot of other walls taught in the Word of God. Now listen, Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Zechariah chapter 2, for the sake of time, come down to verse 5, because I want to go to one other one. Look at 4 and 5. Zechariah 2, 4 and 5, the Scripture says, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. He's saying, this new Jerusalem that he's talking about here, if you go home and study this, you'll see it's a prophecy about the new Jerusalem we just talked about in Revelation 21 and 22. He says, this new Jerusalem is going to have so many people in it because the people of God are going to build their walls and they're going to enter into the walls of this city. Now listen to verse 5. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her. Pronoun her refers to whom? The city. That's right. The new Jerusalem. I will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. What is the wall of this city? Well, God has a wall of fire about this city. Does everybody see that? And in closing, go with me to Isaiah, and we'll close right here in Isaiah chapter 26. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. Listen to verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 26, verses 1, 2, and 3. Please look at this. This again is a prophecy about the coming of the city that we just read about in Revelation 21. In Isaiah 26, listen to verses 1, 2, and 3. In that day, he's talking about the day of the coming of this new Jerusalem. In that day shall this song, this is Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Do you know we have a strong city today? What is that strong city we have today? It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the new Jerusalem. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. You know who's protecting that city? God is. And then he says, open the gates that the... Who's going to enter in? Open the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What's in that city? Righteousness and what? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, brethren, it's a great blessing to know that God has taught us how to build the walls in our lives and in our families. They are walls the devil cannot tear down. You build those walls. And if you build those walls and you maintain those walls, let me tell you, you've got to maintain the wall. But if you build the wall and you maintain the wall, God will take you behind another wall that's more wonderful than the wall you built, because it's a wall that God built. May God help us to believe and understand and obey His Word is my prayer for Christ's sake.